I'd like to speak about a topic that I'm sure no one has ever heard about before. The theme is something that I'm sure we've heard about from the perspective of Musar. But I think to be able to learn this topic through certain Makoros, I think allows us to open the doors to many very interesting new Makoros. And a lot of it has to do with the parshas that we've been learning about in the beginning of Sefer Shmos. And of course, it's a very relevant inyan for really for any time of the year. How I stumbled on this is interesting because, you know, over the years, I've had a chance during June's man, whenever we have a little bit of a break from the regular learning. So it's an opportunity to learn other types of inyanim, like you've been learning now during the break between semesters. So a couple of times I learned Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Rambam and specifically the Sharashim, as many as we went through various times. And when you have the Rambam's Shoresh, which are his introductions, the rules that he sets out as far as when a mitzvah should be counted in the minyan of mitzvahs, when it shouldn't, what psukim count, what don't. And he has 14 Sharashim. And the agenda of the Rambam when he wrote this, and it really was a way to establish his count of the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and we know the Rambam's count of the Taryag is the basis for the Chinuch, for the most part. So the Rambam was working not in a vacuum, but he was coming on the scene, you could say, because it was already an established shita of many others, but more the most prominent of them was the Bahag. The Bahag had his count of Taryag. The Gemara says it's Taryag Mitzvahs. The Gemara doesn't tell us what goes into Taryag Mitzvahs. The Bahag had certain things that he felt were part of Taryag, and the Rambam vehemently disagreed with the Bahag. And it was very much entrenched that people accepted the Bahag as the one shita that people thought was correct, to the extent that there were many piyutim that were composed and said over, specifically over Shavuos, that were all based on the count that people thought was the accepted count of Taryag. And the Rambam had very serious disagreements, and his agenda, you might say, in writing the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and really the Mishnah Torah in some ways is based on that. That's why every time you introduce in the Rambam a new set of halachas, you always see on the top, the Rambam, that is, introduces the mitzvahs that are connected to the halachas that he's about to lay out for us. So when he wrote the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he also introduced it with 14 Sharashim, and those Sharashim are established rules as far as what should go into the minyan HaMitzvahs and what should not, and each Shoresh is a limud by itself. And what you have as a result of the Rambam's comments in the Sharashim is a lot of pushback. People came to the defense of the Bahag. And one of those is the Ramban. The Ramban had hasagos on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, and it starts with the Sharashim. And then you had others who came and defended the Rambam, who was masig on the Bahag. So if you open up any Sefer HaMitzvahs with Rambam, you'll see on the page the Rambam in the middle. You'll see the hasagos of the Ramban on the side. You'll see various Nosi Kalim, if you will, on the bottom, the Megillas Esther, Magani Satava, Kinas Sofrim, different Mechavrim who are coming to defend the Rambam. And really, this is an incredible opportunity of Lahagda Torah Hadira to learn you know, a certain perspective on Sugyas Hashas from in a different way than you typically would do it. Just parenthetically, Rav Zell Gebstein Zatzal from Shara Torah was a very avid, excited about learning these in Yanim. He gave many shiurim. Some of his shiurim have been published, but most have not. Maybe eventually they'll put them out. But the truth is, it's a tremendous limud. So we had a little bit of an opportunity. And as part of that, I stumbled on an inyan that I thought I'd wanted to revisit for this shiur and develop a little bit to give you a taste of, you know, just something that you wouldn't otherwise experience. Okay, that's a little bit of an introduction. The pasuk that we're going to focus on is in Parshas Ekev. Again, not a parsha that we're always so up on. It's during the summer months. And the pasuk reads the following, as you can see if you have your sheets. Umaltem es arlas levavchem, ve'arpechem lo sakshu od. So there's two halves to the pasuk. Part one of the pasuk is This is, of course, Moshe Rabbeinu speaking Mussar to Klal Yisrael. Much of Sefer Devarim is really that. It's all happening over a course of a few weeks. Moshe Rabbeinu starts off in Aleph Shvat. It's Mamish Inyana Diyoma, if you will, because we are now in the beginning of Chodesh Shvat from a few days ago. So this is really toward the beginning of Moshe's speech, when Moshe was holding on exactly Dalet Shvat, Hey Shvat, I can't tell you. But at some point, he got to this pasuk. And the first part of the pasuk is stating that you shall circumcise, cut away, arlas levavchem, the arla, the barrier of your heart. That's part one. And part two, ba'arpechem lo sakshu od. You should no longer stiffen your neck. Okay, so what exactly is this pasuk all about? What does this mean? Does it count in some way as a mitzvah, if you will, a mitzvah saseh umaltem, es arlas levavchem, a mitzvah lo saseh, ba'arpechem lo sakshu od? And if it does, what exactly is meant by this mitzvah? Just to backtrack, I want to focus more on Ba'arpachem Lusakshu Od, but of course, the larger context is important. So if we were to think about the expression of stiff-necked, Kishay Oref, and we use it a lot, it comes up in our davening, it's certainly generally not used in a positive sense. Just think, for example, of the vidui that we say, the yashamnu vidui, which goes through the Aleph Beis, ashamnu bagadnu gazalnu, and you get to kuf, and what is kuf? Kishinu oref, right? So it means we are being misvada, we're expressing in the general sense that part of what we recognize, we have fallen short in the sense that we have stiffened our neck, kishinu oref. Similarly, in the Vial Chetz that we have, also following the Aleph Beis. So we have Alke Chechatano Fanacha, Bekashius Oref. Where do we find this expression of Kishe Oref mentioned in Chumash? It's mentioned numerous times. I gave you one reference here, but it's really not just there. It's a few different places in the same context. It's Chet HaEgel. It's written, it says in Parshas Kisisa, Vayom Hashem al Moshe, you have the Suras Lamed Beis Tes in Shmos, Ra'isi Esa Am Hazeh V'hinei Am Kishe Orefu. Klal Yisrael, having committed the Chet HaEgel, Hashem passes a judgment on them and says to Moshe, this nation is an Am Kishe Oref. They're a nation of a stiff neck. So that's one pasuk. It's also a little later on in Kisisa, Hashem says, Ki am kishe oref ata. And again, and Hashem says to Moshe, Atem am kishe oref. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Atem am kishe oref, Ki am kishe oref, who he says. The idea of being a kishe oref is definitely here not a compliment, right? It's seen as a negative quality. And it's this pasuk that we have to begin to analyze when the pasuk says, Ba'arpechem lo sakshu od, what does the Torah mean? What is Moshe Rabbeinu saying here in this pasuk? The nature of this expression, what is the pasuk shat, what is the idea? We usually intuitively know that to be a kshe oref means to be stubborn. Okay, so let's try to pin it down more closely. Why the expression of a kshe oref? Oref is the back of the neck, and to harden it, that it doesn't, it's not flexible, it doesn't move. What exactly does that convey? So you have a Rashi and Ibn Ezra, both in Parshas Kisisa, that say very similar ideas. If you look here at the Ibn Ezra says, Kishe Oref means Shilo Yishma Mashetziva. You're not listening to what you're told. You're not obedient. Mashal Adam Holech Darka Bemrutza. Let's say you're going on a certain path very quickly. Below Yashiv Oref Lukore Elov. And somebody's calling you, hey, you, do this, don't do this, whatever the instructions are, and you don't pay attention. You don't turn back. You continue to have your back to the person, your back meaning, of course, the back of your neck as well. And you don't turn around to take in the information, the instructions. That's the Ibn Ezra. Rashi says a similar thing, specifically the in context of Tochacha. Says Rashi, Kishe Oref, Mechazrin Kishe Arpam Negin Mochichehem. They turn the back of the neck, they harden their neck opposite those who are coming to give them Musr, Umimanim Lishmoa, and they're refusing to hear. Similar to the Ibn Ezra, subtle differentiation here that Ben Ezra sounds like you're already, you know, facing away and you don't turn around to address, to hear the person speaking to you, to take it in. According to Rashi, it sounds like you mamish turned away from the person. Either way, the image of a kishei oref is someone who is not open to take in the tochacha and doesn't want to change. That's the basic idea of why we say kishei oref is someone who's set in their ways, who's stubborn. Okay, so now coming back to our pasuk. What exactly is the meaning of this pasuk from the perspective of Minyan HaMitzvahs, and even from the perspective of Pshuto Shel Mikra? In other words, how do these two halves of the pasuk connect with each other? Are they saying the same thing in different words? One is formulated in a positive way, umaltem. One is formulated in a negative way, that you should not be a kshei oref. Or are they somehow leading one from one to the other, but they're not identical ideas? That's kind of what we have to also figure out. And also, this you don't really have on your sheet, but to understand where this pasuk fits in the context of where it appears in Parshas Ekev. This pasuk is in the middle of a section that's called Parshas Hayira. Begins the Ata Yisrael Ma'ashem Okecha Shol Me'imach. Some Siddurim even have it as something that some people say after davening every day. Parshas Hayira, it happens to also be the basis of the spiritual ladder of Rav Pinchas ben Yoyer that the Mesius Yisharm wrote his sefer on. Kim liyiras Hashem elkech leches b'chol deracha v'ava oso v'lavas Hashem elkech b'chol vavcho nafshecha. Either way, you have a few psukim into this Parshas Hayira, this pasuk of umaltim is arles levavchem. What was before this? So before this, you have Moshe Rabbeinu chazering over the incident of Chet HaEgel, and he goes into it in great detail, and it's obviously part of his Musar. And then just at Revi of Ekev, he talks about how he was told to get a second set of Luchos. And now you have the Parshas Hayira that begins here at Chamishi and this Pasuk that we just read. And what follows afterwards is, after Va'arpachem Musak Shu'od, Ki Hashem Elokechem, Hashem is the power of all powers. He is Kael Gadol Gibor Vanora, that we of course know from Shemona Esrei, that expression the Moshe Rabbeinu uses. Asher lo yisafanim bo kach shochad. He doesn't show favoritism. He doesn't take bribes. Osa mishpat yosan ba'almana ve'oiv galas lachem v'simu. These are the psukim that follow. And right before this, this pasuk umaltem is arales levavchem ve'arpachem l'sak shu'od. Okay, so as I noted before, I got onto this from the Sefer Mitzvahs of the Rambam and the Hasagas of the Ramban. So let's begin with the Rambam's rule in Shoresh Dalet. So he starts off and establishes the Shoresh, and then at the very end of his paragraph, he focuses on this pasuk as an example of where the Bahag he thought was wrong in counting this as a mitzvah. What is the rule that the Rambam establishes in Shoresh Dalet? He writes, HaShoresh HaRevi, She'ein ra'oi limnos ha'tzivuyim ha'kolim ha'torah kula. That you can't count in the minyan of Taryag a tzivuy that is not specifically directed to a particular way of conduct. If it's just general, saying, keep the mitzvahs, do the right thing, so to speak, that's not a separate mitzvah. Yavol ba'torah tzivuyin v'azharos einan b'dava ramuz. Ramuz meaning to say that it's a very specific, this is not the original Rambam, didn't write it in this language, so it's a translation. I think they have later translations of Kapach, but it means a specific thing. Avo yichlu ha-mitzvos kulam. It's a tzivuy that really is all-encompassing about doing mitzvahs. Ki'ilu Yomar, like it would say, Asay komash tzivisicha lasos. The Torah would say, keep my mitzvahs, do everything I've told you. He zaher mikomash izarticha mimenu. Lo tavor dovin mimash tzivisicha bo. That would never count as a separate mitzvah, because there's no maisa miyucha, there's no specific directive here that we're saying, do this, don't do this. And therefore, the Rambam goes through other examples that he feels could not count. One of the examples, Kedoshim Tiyu, that the Rambam feels should not count. And for our purposes, at the very end of this Shoresh, the Rambam says, Mizah Shoresh Gamkein Amru, that was the Pasuk says, Umaltem Es Arlas Levavchem. Rotsa lomar sheyakabel v'yishma kol ma shekodem zachro min ha-mitzvus. So what is umaltim es aras levavchem? Another way of saying that you have to listen to what I've told you already. Ba'arpechem lo sakshu od means don't hold back. Don't be stubborn about those mitzvahs. So if the Torah says, keep the mitzvahs, don't violate the mitzvahs, it's really nothing more than the Torah just echoing what it said already. And it can't go, therefore, into a minyan of mitzvahs to be something separate as a mitzvah bifnei atzma. That's the Rambam's shoresh here in attacking and criticizing the Bahag. It's very interesting that even though that's what the Rambam writes here in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, that there's nothing specific in this pasuk except that the Torah is saying, keep the mitzvahs. The Rambam himself, in Mor Nevuchim, does seem to read into this pasuk a specific idea. If you take a look in the Mor Nevuchim, it's on your sheet, Chel Gimel Perek Lamed Gimel, the Rambam tells us that the Torah wants people to be respectful of the social order and be able to take in, you could say, feedback and advice, input from others. Again, this is not the Rambam's own words. It's a translation. Again, whatever version of the translation. Tarbus, v'shehiya adam nishma l'chaveirav. You shouldn't be a person who doesn't listen to others. You should do what your friends want you to do something. You should be a team player. You should go along. You should respond. You should interact. Obviously not talking about doing an Avera, but the point being that if there's something that they have to say, you should be willing. I'm not talking about necessarily tochacha here. Speaking about the general idea, b'shava ritzonam. Now, where do you see the Ram connects it to our pasuk? Vayadata mitzvaso yisale. We all know the mitzvah Hashem says umaltem esaros levavchem v'arpachum esakshu od. That's one of the pasuk when the Rambam quotes haskes ushma Yisrael tovu ushmatem. And he's basically using this pasuk as building the case for why it's important that the Torah wants us to be open and willing to take it from others. Now, I don't know if it's an absolute stira. Rabbi Yerucham Fishel Perlau, he's famous for his sefer, his perush on Sefer Mitzvot of Sadyagon, in Mitzvah Lo Saseh, I think it's Memtes, he points out this, what seems to be a stira between the Rambam in the Sharashim that we just saw in Shoresh Daud and the Mor Nevuchim. I don't know, it could be that Mor Nevuchim is not speaking necessarily on the same wavelength as the Rambam. I mean, it is an idea, but it's okay. It's perhaps also within the pasuk, but the still could be the Iker Pshat of the pasuk is to listen to the Torah. The Rambam uses this as a smach, if you will, like he brings other psukim as well in Tovu Ushematim. So the Rambam took some poetic license and tried to put this idea into the pasuk. I'm not sure how much austere it is. Either way, it doesn't have to count as a mitzvah, even if it is a separate idea. This is not like a mitzvah. It's like an Eitzah Tova, if you will. But it's certainly not saying the same thing literally as the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs. Okay, that's just an interesting little contrast between the two Rambams. Let's get to the realm of Sefer HaMitzvahs and Minyan HaMitzvahs itself, the Moni HaMitzvahs. There are many, many, of course, many Rishonim that did their own count of Taryag. So Be'ikah, we're going to work on the Ramban, but I want to mention before that two of the Rishonim that also counted this Pasuk in Minyan HaMitzvahs, and that's the Smak, Rabbi Yitzhak Mikorvil, and the Sefer Yerem. These are all from the Balei HaTosfos. The Smak says as follows, Mitzvah Tes, in some editions it's Mitzvah Yud. He reads the Pasuk as one idea, and both halves of the pasuk, says the Smak, are that idea. Lamu arlas halev, the mitzvah of removing the barrier of the heart. Shenem altim esas levavchem. Perush. Lehov es hatochachos, the lehov mi sheyochichenu. So what does he say? To remove the barrier of your hearts means to love rebuke and to love the source of the rebuke, those who are giving you mussar, to feel endearing feelings for them. As the Pasuk says in Mishle, Shlomo HaMelech says, that tochach l'chacham v'yehavecha. Uv'mitzvah zu yesh lav. Shenema v'arpachem lo sakshu od. So what is the snack doing? He's seeing the two halves of the Pasuk both as defining one idea. The idea is twofold. Notice, the idea is to love tochacha and to love the one who gives tochacha. And how does the Torah tell you that? By saying, remove the barrier of your heart and don't stiffen your necks. It's interesting. So how do the two ideas become one single idea? Because it's the one idea that lies within the positive formulation and the negative formulation, the mitzvah zu yesh lav. It's one mitzvah. He doesn't count it apparently as a separate mitzvah. This is a separate, just parenthetically, let me just say this. This is what the Yerucham Perla points out as well. The Rambam holds, and I think it's in Shoresh Vav, if the Torah will say on the same thing, a lo sase and an asay, you'll have the same conduct counted in the Shasa Lavin and in the Ramach Asays. Like, for example, Tishbos, not to do Melacha on Shabbos. So there's lo sase chamelacha and there's Tishbos. Many Rishonim disagree. Many Rishonim think, not like the Rambam, that if the Torah says on the same thing, an asay and a lo sase, you won't count both. You'll count one or the other. Maybe in this case, you count the asay. So for minyan ha-mitzvahs, it's not going to count for one of the Ramach and one of the Shasa. It's going to be one or the other. And that's what it sounds like from the smak. But either way, both parts of the pasuk are speaking to one idea, and the one idea has two parts to it. To love tochacha and to love the one who gives tochacha. What's the pshat? So the pshat is that it stems from one inherent midah. The midah is that a person knows that they're not shalem, that they're not perfect in terms of their ruchnias, in terms of tikkun amidos, in terms of doing the right thing. And therefore, they welcome the opportunity to have to know what they can do to be better. And therefore, if that's the person's mindset, then that will yield two things that are both derived from that same mindset. In other words, you'll love tochacha. If this is what makes you happy, then you're going to love the tochacha because this is a chance to become better. And you're going to love the person who, just like if you love ice cream, so someone gives you ice cream, you're going to love the person who gave you the ice cream because he gave you something which you really enjoy. So if you want to be, you want the benefit of tochacha and that's what you're living for, then naturally the love will be expressed toward the person who is mochiach you. And therefore, the Torah is expressing that underlying midah as a mitzvah. The mitzvah is formulated both in the positive sense, umatim esarz levavchem, and in the negative sense, v'arpachem usak shu'od, basically saying the same thing. Basically saying a person should want to grow, a person should want to improve, and a person should therefore be very open and happy about tochacha and love the tochacha and love the person who gives tochacha to them. There's an interesting Gemara in Erechin on Tezayin al Beis with the sugyas of Hochiach Tochiach that mentions a story with Rabbi Akiva, that Rabbi Yochan ben Nuri comments that he gave Musar to Rabbi Akiva, and with that, Hosafti bo Ahava. In other words, instead of feeling defensive and feeling judged and feeling somehow inferior, it was absolutely a pleasure for him. And he felt even more love for me because I gave him the tochacha. And it says, Ulkayim Ashenemar, the same pasuk of Hochach Chacham Bi'Avecha. That's the same idea that the smak is reading into this pasuk. Okay, that's the smak. Let's go to the Yireim. The emes is that the smak, it's what I said before, maybe the smak is talking, not saying that it's only counting as one. It's the yireim that probably would be more what I just said. The smak could be, you have to see in his minyan whether he counts taka as the asay and the los asay separately. It's just a mitzvah zu yesh lav. Could be the smak is counting separately the lav and the asay, like the Rambam. The yireim, on the other hand, Take a look what the Yireim says. Lesakshu od arpechem, kasu pashas ekev umaltem is arlas uvavchem, v'arpechem lesakshu od, perush kashyus oref hu choshe belibo, shelo lashuv liyotzro. Over below Sakshu. So he doesn't count Umaltem. He quotes the whole Pasuk and he explains what is the Lav of Lo Sakshu, which is what he does count. He counts the Lav of the Pasuk, even though he quotes the whole Pasuk. Kashus Oref is Choshe Belibo Shelo Lashav Liyotzro. Mishashim Achashiv over below Sakshu. There's a lot that's been written on this Yireim. The emesis, what I'm saying, is not the only way to read it. There's a tshuva of the Maram Shik I found on this Yireim. He has a different understanding than what I'm going to tell you. It's in Simen Shin Aleph. I think it's Orachayim Shin Aleph. But I think that Yerucham Perla learns the way I'm saying. So I would just take it as follows. That the Yireim is learning that this is, it's a similar but different idea than what we saw in the Smak. It's the idea that a person should not have a definitive machshava that they are not going to change, that they're not going to do tshuva. In other words, again, the Smak was saying you have to be open to tochacha. It's more like to be in this mindset of being able to want to have tochacha and to want to change. The focus of the Yireim is that if a person has a machshava that this is where I'm at, and I don't intend to change. That type of a definitive mindset, the mindset of lo lashuv, that's the lav of arpechem lo sakshu. It's a very profound idea. In other words, like a person who's a mumer for a certain avera that he does, he's not goris that inyan, whatever it might be, whatever avera shatn is. Here, it's like you're a mumer for tshuva. In your mind, you're saying, tshuva is not for me. I am not changing. I'm not interested in changing. I'm not going to do tshuva. Ki'ilu, that becomes an aveira of arpechem l'sakshu od. Now, how concrete does that feeling have to be? A fleeting thought? He says, mishash mechashev. See, there's some, like the Maram Shik and others, they want to learn this along the lines of a losasuru type of an aveira, machshava, hiruri aveira. I'm not sure that that's what he means. He's specific here about lo lashuv liyotzro. It's about a person having a mindset that I will not return. I don't intend to return. So that's, again, closing your options and seeing your options as not including tshuva. That becomes a violation of this lav. Again, he doesn't seem to count the asay. That could be because if you have an asay and a lav on the same thing, as we noted before, you don't count both. Could be that's what the Yireim, why only counts the lav and not the asay. Okay. For the rest of the shir, we're going to focus on the Ramban. This Ramban, Rabosai, is just mind-boggling to me. I think we're going to have to look at it. And even after the shir is over, I would encourage everybody, I've spent a lot of time thinking about it, and I probably know I could spend much more time on it. So, Kal Vachomer, I think all of you, and maybe you'll have some insights that could enlighten me as well. I'm very much taken by so much of what the Ramban is doing here. Now, there are really two Rambans. First, in Chumash. In Chumash, he doesn't address the issue of whether it counts as a mitzvah or not. He's mefarish the pasuk. In Hasagos to Shoresh David, he's speaking in defense of the Bahag. Now, it doesn't mean that the Ramban has to agree with the Bahag. This is another thing to know. Just because the Ramban critiques the Rambam for critiquing the Bahag, it doesn't always mean that the Ramban holds like the Bahag. It just means that the Rambam was a little bit unfair in dismissing the Shitas of Bahag. So the Ramban comes to the defense of the Bahag. So therefore, what we're going to see in the Hasagos doesn't automatically mean that the Ramban himself learned pshat in the pasuk that it's a separate mitzvah. But the Ruach HaDvarim that we're going to see in the Ramban and Chumash is going to be very much in the same vein as what the Ramban does in Hasagos to explain the Bahag as far as why it should count as a lav of Ba'arpecha Musakshu Od. And really, to appreciate what the Ramban is saying in Chumash, we're going to have to read the Hasagos, and we'll see how Mamish Divrei HaRamban, Aniyim B'Mokom Echad, Vashim b'makom acher. So let's do together with the time we have to take the Ramban line by line, if you will, phrase by phrase, and see what the Ramban is trying to do here to bring this pasuk into sharper focus. And as I noted in the beginning, we're going to have a lot here that's going to tie in to the parshios of Chumash that we've been learning the last couple of weeks and also this coming week. Zok the Ramban in Chumash on the pasuk. First, we'll read this whole Ramban and then we'll comment, and then we'll see how it's going to be fleshed out with the Ramban in the Hasagos. Umaltem is Arlas Levavchem, part one of the pasuk. Sheyia Levavchem Pasuach Ladas HaEmes. Part one of the pasuk is telling us to circumcise the barrier of your heart means your hearts have to be open to know the truth. Okay? Lo kasher asisem ad hayom. Not the way you've been doing until now. Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to Kaiso in year 40, right? A few weeks before he leaves the world. Lo kasher asisem ad hayom, shelo nasan Hashem lachem lev ladas leinayim liros vaznayim lishmoa. That expression is taken out of Parshas Kisavo at the very end. The pasuk there says, "V'nosa Hashem lachem lev ladas," that it takes time till your eyes can see and your heart can feel and your ears can hear. So it's a process. So the Ramban is borrowing that idiom and he's saying, "Look, you have to be open to truth, and you haven't always been open to truth, but now I hope that going forward, you'll be open to truth," and that's umaltem etzaras levavchem. That's part one of the pasuk. Continues the Ramban, the arpechem lo sakshu od. Don't stiffen your neck anymore. Shelo tiu kavosechem, dor sorer umore. Don't be like your fathers. This is the second generation, right? This is the generation going into Eretz Yisrael. But they are in some way sort of standing in place of the generation before them, that meaning those who were left Mitzrayim. Don't follow in their ways. Dor sorer umora, interesting expression, sorer umora. Sheyashvu im ha-Mitzrayim v'yilmedu ma'aseihem. That they dwelt with among the Mitzrayim and they learned from their ways. V'heim kashim lazov darkam, and it therefore was hard for them to change their path. Kimosha asu es ha'egel ukra'am sham am kishe oref. As we know that first generation, they did the egel, and they were labeled with that pejorative, title of am kishe oref. Shelo yashuvu min ha'taos shenichnas belibam. They didn't leave that mistake that they had to think that there's some benefit in serving these other powers, these celestial forces, the malachim, and so on. Now, if you just read this Ramban without a larger context, without the other Ramban, you're missing so much here. Because what's going on here? You know the expression TMI, too much information. What is Ramban suddenly packing in this sentence? He says, you shouldn't stiffen your neck anymore. Don't be like your generation before you, Dor Somer, that were with Mitzrayim, and they learned their ways, and they can't abandon it, like they made the ego. What is Ramban going here? Why is he bringing in information that at first glance doesn't seem to connect with the issue at hand? I mean, why does the Ramban feel that there's any shaychus between this pasuk by Moshe Rabbeinu of Arpechem Usak Shu'od and Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim? Now, obviously, it may have to do with Chet HaEgel, and Chet HaEgel has associations with Kshe Oref. But why does that have to connect to Mitzrayim? It's also not clear. In other words, we know Kshe Oref and the Egel seem to go together. Right? They called out Kshe Oref several times by the Chet HaEgel. But where does the missing link about Mitzrayim fit into this? Why does he talk about Avoseichem Dor Soro Moreh, that they were with Mitzrayim, the Yilmudu Maaseihem? What does the Ramban have in mind with that sentence that he brings into the mix in his Pirush and Chumash? Right, that's very much has to be understood. And then again, let's understand the the balance between the two halves of the pasuk, what we think we seem to see in the Ramban before even going deeper is unlike, for example, like in the Smak, where he said both halves of the pasuk are saying the same thing. It has to do with a mindset of loving Tochacha, wanting to change. And so too with Yerayim, whether you count them both or you don't count them both, but it's one idea that you shouldn't feel that I'm not going to come back and return to Hashem and do tshuva. The Ramban is separating the two parts of the pasuk. Part one of the pasuk is Yir Levavchem Pasuach L'Das HaEmes, which therefore is a cognitive aspect that your heart, even though it says heart, but it means you have to know, right? You have to be willing to see, to understand what's true, meaning that Avodah Zarah is nonsense. Avodah Zarah is not emes. Emes is Eino Movado, and that's where the psukim that follow come in. Ki Hashem Elokechem Hu Elokei Elokim Adnei Adonim, and so on. So that's Umaltem Es Arla Suvavchem. So it's cognitive. What is the Arpecha Musak Shu Od? That, like your fathers, that they were entrenched in Mitzrayim and they were learning the ways around them, they ain't kushim lazov darkam. So here we're not talking about cognitive, we're talking about behavioral, right? We all know this. Cognitive is behavioral. So the first part of the pasuk is the cognitive dimension, right? And the second part of the pasuk is more that you should be willing to change and be able to change. And you see by your fathers that they weren't. It was kashim lazov darkam, right? So that's, I think, the outline that we begin to see in the Ramban, but we still don't know the full picture. Okay, so let's go to the Ramban in Hasagas. Again, the context of the Ramban here is to defend the Bahag. Here we're going to get much more of a perspective, and we're going to have to pause after each point to try to just define what he just said. If we try to read it all once, we'll be overwhelmed. Zakta Ramban, Umin Hanira Elai, Belav, V'arpecha Musak Shu'ot. So what I think is the pshat again in defense of the Bahag in this Lav. Shehu Lav Miyuchad, it's a separate, distinct Lav, Mechadesh Mitzvah. It is actually bringing something new to the table. Not like the Rambam says, it's just saying, keep the mitzvahs. There's something specific that's being added in this expression. We'll see about umaltem. Now we're talking about the second half of the pasuk. V'ha'inyan, okay? What is the idea here? She'yitzave liyosam shomim min hanavim. V'lo yiskashu od b'she'elos ha'osos mehem v'tainam achareihem. Let's pause right here. What is the Arpecha Musak Shu'od? What's the Chidush Mitzvah is? That you have to listen to the Nevi'im as opposed to what? What is a specific idea of being Maksha Arpo? To be overly demanding when these Nevi'im come and they give you Musar, and you're going to say, prove that you're emes. Now, typically, what does it mean? You want an oath. And the tainam acharehem. Now, what does the Ramban mean? When the Navi first comes, a Navi comes and says, I have something to tell you, the Kol Amar Hashem or whatever, Lashon, they have to still establish their credentials as a Navi. That's clear from the Psukim and Shoftim and the Rambam in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah. So the Ramban doesn't mean, and we'll see this clearly in a few minutes as well in the Ramban, it doesn't mean that you can't ask initially. But let's say the Navi already proves that he's a Navi. He brings a sign of whatever. But then you're still not convinced. You're not convinced. And you're still not ready to go along. That's called being a Kshei Oref. Now, before we go on in the Ramban, because he's going to connect this to Mitzrayim, that's where we're going. But let's notice something interesting. For the Ramban, the Arbecha Musak Shu'od has to do with not being overly demanding of the Nevi'im who come to give you Musar. What does the Navi do? It gives you Musar. Now, the Rambam, didn't count this as a separate lav and couldn't imagine that this is correct pshat in the Bahag. Why not? So you could say, stop, the Rambam didn't have this idea that the pasuk means the specific idea that the Rambam is saying. But it actually could mean something else. Because this idea that the Ramban is putting in the pasuk of Va'arpecha Musak Shu'od may actually already be covered by another pasuk, another lav, which the Rambam does happen to count in Minyan HaMitzvahs. What lav is that? If you can turn to the next page, there's a pasuk in Beschanan that says, Lo sinasu es Hashem Elokeichem kasha nisisem ba'masa. You're not to test Hashem as you did in Masa. Masa was when they demanded water in Refidim. And it says, Matrivani Madi Matanasu is Hashem. So now becomes a lav to test Hashem. What does it mean? What is the lav? So the Rambam paskins, and I don't have the Rambam for you, but I have the Chinuch here. But the Rambam actually counts this in Yisodei HaTorah, in Perek Yud Halacha Hey. I'll read you the Lashon HaRambam, and then you can see in the Chinuch as well. The Rambam says that Lo Sinasu means Navi Shenoda Nevuaso, Behaminu Bidvarav, Pamachar Pam, and he's clearly going with the Darchi HaNevuah, Asru Lechashi Vacharav, Ulaharer Benevuaso Shema Eino Emes, V'asru Nasoso Yosemidai. And that's the lav of Lo Sinasu. When you know he's a Navi, V'yedu ki Hashem bekirbam lo yaharu bo yachashu acharav. Don't push back against him. And so says the Chinuch in Mitzvah Tav Chav Dalet, Shelo Nasos Navi Emes Yosem Idai, Shenimnanu Shelo Nasos Yosem Idai HaNavi HaMiyaser HaSa'am V'lamelamdam Darchi HaTshuva Acha Sheneda Amitas Nevuoso. Ve'al zeh nemar lo sinasu es Hashem kashem nisisem ba'masa. Meaning to say that according to the Chinuch and according to the Rambam, the lav of lo sinasu is already saying not to push back against the Navi. Now, there is another strand of Rishonim that have a different pshat in lo sinasu. Again, it's not on your sheets, but you probably know this from the Gemara Tainis Daf Tes, and that's what the Smag says. The Smag, who is one of the Bali Tosus who also count the mitzvahs, and very often he goes with the Rambam, but here and there he departs from the Rambam in terms of Minyan HaMitzvahs. He also can depart in certain details. So in Lo Sinasu, the Smag, in his Lavin Lav Dalit, he says, what is Lo Sinasu? Shelo Yoma Adam Esa Mitzvazu Ve'era Imes Barech. Let me kind of see if I'm going to get good fortune by doing this mitzvah. You're hedging your bets. You're doing mitzvahs al menas l'kabel pras, like it says in Pirkei Avos, not to do that. So if a person does mitzvahs conditionally, and that means that I only want to do this mitzvah because I want to see what will come out for me in a good way, so I'm doing the mitzvah conditionally, says the Smag, that becomes an avera of lo sinasu. That's where the Gemara in Tainis comes in and says that there's an exception to this rule. If you do it by Meiser, you're allowed to test Hashem. So for the Smag, Lo Sinasu is absolutely not about testing a Navi, so to speak, and challenging a Navi. It's about doing mitzvahs al menas l'kabel pras. The Chinuch himself, at the very end of that mitzvah, adds that as well. That's also Bechal HaMitzvah. Now the question is, what does the Ramban hold on Lo Sinasu? Because we started reading the Ramban on V'arpecha Musak Shu'od, and we saw that the Ramban is beginning to explain V'arpecha Musak Shu'od, meaning you should not be towing after the Navi and be too demanding with the Navi who gives you Musar. And we just saw the Chinuch says that that's part of Lo Sinasu, right? So what does the Ramban say on Lo Sinasu? Take a look in the Ramban on Lo Sinasu, and again, the next source, he says, Shelo Tomar, he begins to merge together the two ideas. He says, Shelo Tomar, Nyesh Hashem b'kibbeinu l'asos l'ono nisim, if Hashem is with us to do good things for us and miracles, and we'll be successful, and we'll have a good life, then we'll keep the mitzvahs. Because that's what Kal Yisrael had in mind over there in Masa, that if they'll see Hashem giving them water, then they'll follow him in the Midbar. And otherwise, then we're not in. We're opting in only if we get what we expect. And that was a very bad thing. That was a very bad Avera, because once it was established to them, here the Ramban begins to bridge the other idea. Once it was established to them with Osos Umovsim that Moshe was a Navi Hashem, Udvar Hashem Befiu Emes, Ein Roy Lasos Od Shum Davar L'Nisayon. And if you do that, you're not just testing the Navi, you're testing Hashem. And therefore, L'kach Osar L'Doros L'Nasos HaTorah O HaNaviyin. And he says, So, really, what is the Ramban doing in Los Anasu? Seemingly, he's combining a little bit of both the Rambam and the Smag, because he brings in Amnasu Kabul Pras, and he also brings not to overly be against the Navi and demand that he come through for you, and that's a problem. So Rabosai, how can the Ramban say that Arpechem Osak Shu'ot for the Smag has to do with being overly demanding of the Navi? The Ramban sees that as part of Lo Sinasu, but I think the answer is Pashut, because the two separate issues here. Because what is the angle that the Ramban is using over here in Arpecha Mosak Shu'ot? And what's the angle that the Ramban is using when he talks about pushing against the Navi by Lo Sinasu? By Lo Sinasu, the Ramban is seeing it as part of the larger issue of not being full-hearted with Hashem. To be in it, but not to be in it. I'm only in it conditionally. I'm Nasu Kabul Pras. So you don't want to buy into the Navi, because you only want to go in if you know that you have all these things that you want. So it's a sort of like a condition. It's not a full commitment. It's a half-hearted commitment. It's a conditional commitment. That's the Isser b'Menasa the Navi. It's not the same thing as over here. Here the issue is you're a k'shei orep because you don't want to change. Even though there's an overlap in terms of saying you're pushing back against the Navi, but it's a different issue. Here, the issue is being stubborn because you don't want you don't want to change your ways. So because you don't want to change your behavior, therefore you get overly technical with the Navi and says, prove it, prove it, prove it. So that's what the Ramban, even though he learns Lo Sinasu, also can include an aspect of coming on against the Navi too strong. It's not the same issue. There it's doing it because you're not full-hearted, and therefore you only want to be part of the game, so to speak, if you know what your benefits are. Here it's coming from a different angle. Your habit is already ingrained in you, and it's hard for you to change your way. And because it's hard to change, that's why it's written as V'arpechem lo sakshu. So therefore, you come against the Navi and you say, prove yourself more, because you don't want to change. That's what I think is the difference between the Lo Sinasu and the Ramban and the V'arpechem lo sakshu that he's saying over here. Okay, now let's continue in the Ramban and Sefer Mitzvos on Arpechem lo sakshu. So we did one part of it. He says, Lo yiskashu od b'she'egos ha'osos mehem v'tainam achareyem. Let's go to the next couple of words. Zokter Ramban, Kasher Osu b'mitzrayim, Kodem Lazeh. Now you can see how this Ramban is mamish dovetailing with the Lashon we saw in the Ramban and Chumash. Like was done by you, your fathers, meaning Ka Yisrael, in Mitzrayim prior. Here the Ramban elaborates, and he sends us to Yecheskel Chaf. Now, most of us haven't learned Yecheskel Chaf, but we've all heard the Midrashim that are working off of Yecheskel Chaf, and then the Svarim that are based on the Midrashim, Kli Sheni, Kli Shlishi, and Kli Revi, and so on. We always like to quote these fancy terms of Memtes Shari Tuma and language like that, but you have to know where things originate. And the origination of the idea that Klai Yisrael won a very low madrega in Mitzrayim is the description in the Pesukim Yecheskel Chaf. So the Ramban quotes for us a little bit of that. And the Ramban focuses on what he thinks is the real nekuda that's being laid out in Yecheskel Chaf. So now it's not just about Memtes Sharituma and the Chuli, it's something very specific. Ki'inyin shekasav yicheskel chaf, va'oda lehem besoch mitzrayim, va'omar lehem, ishi kutfe enav hashkichu begilui ha-mitzrayim al titamu. So I told you, Mitzrayim, throw away your avodah zarah. Right? Throw it away. Vayamru bi v'lo'avu l'shmo ali. So what the Ramban is focusing on in Yecheskel Chaf is that the Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim are being criticized for not listening to Tochacha. It's not just that they were over the avodah zarah, but they were warned by who we'll see in a minute. I sent the message to you. I sent my Nevi'im to you. Don't be poresh m'avodah zarah. V'lo'avu l'shmo ali. And now the Ramban is bringing this in terms of arpechem l'sak shu od. Don't be miskasha b'she'elas ha'oso. So now if you want to plug that in to Mitzrayim, you'd have to say that the way that their defense mechanism operated for them, because they didn't want to change, we'll see more in a minute, was they said, prove it. Prove that you're for real. Prove that you're a Navi. In other words, there was a resistance. And that's the pasuk of V'lo'avu l'shmo ali. Dr. Ramban further. And who exactly was this Navi? And here it gets a little more interesting and a little more, for me, problematic. I'll tell you why in a minute. The Ein Safek, ki zeh hoya al yidei Navi, O Nevi'im Shiluchim Aleihem. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt that this message that was being sent, the Ram wants to make it fit to Be'arpechem Wilsakshu. So Arpechem Wilsakshu is a response to a Navi, a Mochiach. So Klal Yisrael will give it what was told by a Navi or Nevi'im Shiluchim Aleihem. But here he says, Im Moshe Rabbeinu Avashalom O Acherim Terem Bo'o. Either Moshe or others prior to his coming. Who could have been those others? Rabbi Hussein Uzal, Yichas Uzal, Aaron HaKohen, Alav HaShalom. Wow. So this is a Medrash Chazal that he's quoting, that Aaron was in Mitzrayim, as we know, for all those years, and Moshe was a fugitive. He ran away as a youngster, right? Vayigdal Moshe, and then next thing you know, he was running Mipnei Paro, and he didn't return till he was 80. So from 60-some years, right, he was away. But who was in Mitzrayim with Klal Yisrael during that time? Aaron. Aaron was, according to Chazal, giving Tochacha and gave this particular Nevuah over to Klal Yisrael. There's a pasuk being of Sefer Shmuel that they darshan over there as a reference to the Nevuah of Aaron that he gave over this Nevuah. So he says, it could have been Moshe, or could have been other Nevi'im, Terem Bo'o, right? But what was the, but here's where it gets a little bit hard to me to understand how it could have been Moshe. You see, Moshe came back at 80. So when would he been giving them this Nevuah? Now he's already sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to start speaking to Paro and to start, so we'll see. But he says, what happened when they heard this Nevuah that they should separate from Avodah Zarah? Ishi kutzei enav hashlichu. There were Nevi'im, and what were they doing? V'chein ha'yu ha'nevi'im ha'hem ha'boim wa'hem osim wa'hem shum os o'raya. Listen to this. Whoever those Nevi'im were performing some kind of a sign to show that they were sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu and therefore listen to the Nevuah and abandon the Avodah Zarah. Ki b'kach nitzdaveinu. We are commanded that a Navi comes, he has to prove his Nevuah, he has to prove his credentials. This is what I meant before, that the Ramban was saying that they timed it after the fact, that they already proved their credentials and they still didn't want to accept it. Avo hikshu libam betanu achare ha'osos. So the Ramban is opening up for us an unbelievable vista into the picture of Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim and helping us understand why the midah of Kishei Oref is very much part of the mindset of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. In what sense? In the sense that they were hearing a Nevuah of Tochacha that's described in Yechezkel, and they, even though there was a sign to prove the Navi's credentials, they pushed back. let's pause for a second. So you're getting to see how the Ramban is really fleshing out a bigger picture here. That the Kshei Oref of Klal Yisrael goes back to the state of spirituality, if you will, in Mitzrayim. But now you see, Rabosai, it gets hard for me to understand how could the Ramban entertain the possibility that the Navi was none other than Moshe? You see, Bishlama, if it was Aaron or whoever else before Moshe came, so we have a whole bunch of years that the Torah doesn't tell us much about, but Yechezkel fills in the blank, fills in the picture, and tells us, you should know, Kaisa were Shakua and Avodah Zarah, and there were Nevi'im coming, proving their credentials, and Kaisrael did not want to accept the Nevuah, and they pushed back, and they said, prove yourself more, and that was the Kshei Oref. But if the Ramban is also suggesting it could have been Moshe Rabbeinu, now we don't understand, where would Moshe Rabbeinu have the time, and when would he have been saying to them to abandon the Avodah Zarah? And when would he have brought osos that they would have dismissed? Because to the contrary, what do we find in Chumash? Hashem gave Moshe certain signs because Moshe says, Hen lo yaminu li. And Hashem says, you'll do these signs and they will believe you. And that's what the Pasuk says when he performed the signs, Dafka Vayamin Ha'am. So, and the Ramban is trying to say that there were signs that the Nevi'im did, and it could have been Moshe Rabbeinu that they did not believe. So the only thing that I could say, and this is a tremendous chidush, except that there is maybe a mechilta that could maybe help with this, if you turn onto the other side, there is a pasuk in Parashas Va'era that says that Moshe gave a nevuah that they're going to vote safe, you're going to go out of Mitzrayim and it's going to be wonderful with many miracles, and they didn't take it in. Says the Mechilta, says the Shmos Rabbah, that what's the pshat that they didn't take it in? They couldn't separate from Avodah Zarah. And he quotes Yechezkel. So the Medrash is putting in Yechezkel into the story of Moshe Rabbeinu giving over the Nevuah in the parsha we just read yesterday in Va'era. So now, where would Moshe have given tochacha and avodah zarah? The nevuah was a nevuah of besura tova, wasn't? But it could be Moshe Rabbeinu came back. There was a year to go till Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Makos took a year. So during that year that the Makos were taking over Mitzrayim, right? What were Bnei Yisrael doing? How did they spend their time? They'd spent their time doing what they were doing for all those years before, which is worshiping Avodah Zarah. So if someone's going to give them Musar, it might be Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah doesn't tell us this, but all this time, besides what he did for bringing the Makos and Mitzrayim, he's giving Musar to Klal Yisrael. But then what? And Klal Yisrael didn't abandon Avodah Zarah. They didn't do it until they took the Karban Pesach in Parshas Bo. Then you see them abandoning. But all this time that Klal Yisrael are benefiting, so to speak, that the Makos are being meted out against the Mitzrim and they're being spared, but they're still over the Avodah Zarah. So what could Ramban maybe mean when he says that Tarnu Acharei Ha'osos, it would mean, it's a Chiddush Nora, just occurred to me today, that the pshat would be that the Makos themselves, which were mamish, the broadcasting of Kodesh Baruch Hu's might, Man Teda, Man Teda, Man Teda. And you know who wasn't getting the message and who was pushing back? Because if they really would have accepted Laman Teda, they would have abandoned Avodah Zarah before Karban Pesach came along, before the Tzivui. So the Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim were Kshei Oref. They weren't taking in the Tochacha of whoever the Navi was. It could have been Aaron, it could have been someone else before Moshe came. It could have been Moshe. How could it have been Moshe? Because after Moshe came, he didn't just do what Hashem said vis-a-vis Paro and give over the messages. He was also giving Musa to Klal Yisrael, and Klal Yisrael kept saying, we're not convinced. But what were the osos that they were maharar on? They were maharar on the osos of the Makos themselves. That may be the pshat. But this is the Kshei Oref of the Ramban for Klal Yisrael. Now let's go another back to the Ramban in the Sharashim. He says, Klal Yisrael did not accept the Musar. Avo hikshu libam v'tarnu acharei ha'osos. Kasher osa paro. Very interesting. He makes an analogy, the Ramban, between Klal Yisrael's attitude of being a Kshei Oref, which for the Ramban is defined as not being the spoil from the Osos, whatever they were, maybe the Makos, as I said, maybe whatever else. And that is Paro too. Because what was Paro's Nida, whether you, however you explain it, whether he had Bechira, he didn't have Bechira, and whether it was how it was justified, but Lamaisa, what was the conduct that he displayed? He was not in the spoil. Moshe does whatever it is, whatever Makkah, and he's not convinced. He's Mahar Achara after the Navi. He's a Kishay Lev. The Ramban compares Kishay Lev to Kishay Oref. The Kasuf, Avoseinu b'mitzvayim lo eskilu nifl osecha v'yamro yam b'yamsuf. If I was correct a few minutes ago, this could even mean, and that's what it could be Mepharshim and that Pasagurn, the Makos themselves. That we all imagine Leman Teda, but the Jews then, they didn't yet get it. They were still doing Avodah Zarah while the Makos were doing their part. Lo eskilu nifl osecha, that's a Kshei Oref. And they were being told, they were being warned. Okay, either way, or it goes back to the time before, however you explain it, whatever miracles that the Ramban could be alluding to, that the Pasuk is alluding to, then be whatever the Nevi'im did for them. So the Ramban has now painted a connection between Klal Yisrael's Kishei Oref and Paro. Now we get to the ego, now the missing link. Ubavur ha'inyan hazeh, omre b'maseh ha'egel, ra'isi samazeh, v'ni'am k'she oref hu. What's the pshat over there? Why they call it k'she oref? Yomar, ki ha'tovus asher nichnas b'libam b'ta'eles avodazar b'kochos elyonim, koshim heim lazov oso. This mistake that had become so ingrained that there is something to these other powers, these other things have power, it's hard to change your ways. Now comes the pasuk here, how that pasuk fits exactly where it does. Moshe Rabbeinu had described the Chet HaEgel and how he davened for them. And now he says, listen up. Umaltem Isaras Livavchem. The Arpachem Usak Shuot. Now he explains, ki atoa bigashmius, the mistake itself about something else besides Hashem having any power, hu ara leiv. That's ara olas levavchem. That's part one. Kasha yomar ki cho goyim arelim kol beis yisrael arele leiv. Vusha amar ara leiv leiv or basa leiv o migdashi ushoseini. Ki ashe ein levavo miyuchad leilka v'yachshav ki yesh shomel okrel es bavodas belon v'en roi l'shar eskofanim yisaleh. All of this is connecting to Malchim Esarvas Levavchem. Kilomatiu Mule Lev. So you have to have be a Molev Lohavin. So this parallels the Ramban in Chumash that Umaltim Eslevavchem means Yer Levavchem Pasuach Ladas HaEmes. That's cognitive. Understand. Ki'ein be'ego asher asisem shum to'eles. That's the psukim that follow. Understand that it's not emes. Be open to the emes, part one of the pasuk. And now, part two. If you do that, now you'll be in a position to change your conduct. U'kishi yashiru eschem ha'nevi'im. Lazov asher te'isem bo. If you have an openness to understanding emes cognitively, then when the Nevi'im are going to come and come with their warning, you won't be pushing back as much. The defenses were already been broken. Lotil o kishe oref. Okay, so what has Ramban done for us in Hasagos? He's fleshed out what he says in Chumash, and now you see why he brought in Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, how he understood it. The Nekuda of Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim was that the Mahar Achar, the Osos of the Nevi'im, be it the Makos, be it whatever was the Navi did to them before Moshe came. And that is the Midah of Paro. And the Torah is saying, and that's what led to the Egel, because they didn't want to abandon the Egel. They wanted to abandon Avodah Zarah. It was hard to leave Avodah Zarah. because it was so much part of their nature. And Moshe says a two-pronged approach. Circumcise your heart, meaning to be open to the emes, that Hashem is the only real power. And two, when the Nevi'im come with Tochacha, you'll be able to change your ways as well. So therefore, says the Ramban, we can count this as a mitzvah. Just like the Ram himself counts, just like the Ram counts a Rav, so let me tell you very quickly the pshat over here. It's late. What the Ramban means is like this. The Rambam himself counts a Rav not to flirt with Avodah Zarah. If you flirt, then it'll be a slippery slope. And then next thing you know, you'll be nichshel. And that is a Rav. Ramban is using that as a raya that we can count for Arpechem lo sakshu od as a Rav as well. How so? Because he means like this. One Rav is a Rav to prevent you from doing Avodah Zarah in the first place. The other Rav, this one, Arpechem lo sakshu, is a person who was already nichshel in the Avera. Now Hashem wants you to be able to break out of it, to break out of the pattern, to do tshuva, and to be open to tochacha. So the same way that there could be a rav in the beginning, that you're not going to descend into Avodah Zarah, not to flirt with something that could bring you to Avodah Zarah. So too, says Ramban, I can hear the Bahag learning that there's a rav that when you already had habituated yourself to Avodah Zarah, you have to be able to get yourself out of it and be open to any means like Tochacha to get out of it. So I think we've done a lot here just to dissect the Rav of Arbacham HaSakshu Od, and we saw various shitas of Rishonim. According to the Ramban in the Bahag, why would there not be an Asay V'malten? Why only a Rav? So before we said you don't count both if they're the same thing, but here they're not the same thing. But L'chor, the answer is because one is only a means to the other. The point of the first half of the Pasuk is in order to be able to break away in terms of conduct, you first have to break the cognitive dimension. You have to recognize the MS. And once you do that, then the Musar will have an impact on you. And there's a tremendous Musar Haskell in life. Person is, you know, whatever area that a person is nebuch quart addicted to and shakua and whatever Indian. So there has to be first a way that a person recognizes the MS and instills that MS and begins to hear and recognize that whatever ideology, whatever ashkafa that they were originally thinking, believing consciously, subconsciously, they recognize it's not so. But even after that, the fact remains you're still used to whatever you're used to. And then there has to be some element of tochacha, whether it's individual mochiach, whether it's musas svarim, and that's, of course, the way that person can be able to change as well. Meanwhile, we have a little bit of a perspective on the parashas that we read, the understanding of the matzil of Kaisel Mitzrayim and the inyan that they were kishay oref, and how that also is applicable to the Chet HaEgel, and the idea that that is paro as well. That's paro. Paro being a kishay lev is the midah of kishay oref. Ki yadua, the Svar Makdoshim try to point out that the osios of paro are the osios of ha'oref. And there you see kishay oref. There's a pasuk in Parshas Bo, ki hiksha faro l'shalcheinu. I will just tell you again, 2-3 little nekudos me'inyin le'inyin that occurred to me also today in your schus mistama that I was preparing for this year. The Ramban doesn't mention it, but I would just think it's mamish fits beautifully with the Ramban that we read. That is that Chet HaEgel also encompassed an element of refusing tochacha. And where do we see that? There was an individual, the Chazal tell us, gave tochacha to Klal Yisrael. What was his name? His name was Chur, right? He was the grandfather of Bezalel, the architect of the Mishkan. He was the nephew of Moshe and Aaron, actually. He was the son of Miriam. And Chazal say, Vayar Aviv Mizbeach Lefanav. He built a Mizbeach, but Chazal say, Rashi quotes it as well, once in Hedad of Zion, Vayiven Mizavuach Lefanav. He understood that he better go along with Klal Yisrael because if he pushes back, then they'll kill him. It'll be no way for Kaiso to ever have tshuva after doing, on top of killing Chur, they would kill Aaron. Rashi's lashon is, Shahayu mochicham v'harguhu. So here you have within, built into Chet HaEgel, mamish, this this very dynamic that the Ramban is learning in the Pasuk, and other Rishonim also to some extent, of being a Kshei Oref, is not to accept Tochacha. You mamash see it in the story, according to Chazal, within the Midrashim, you see it within the story of the Chet HaEgel. It's interesting that the Lashon of the Pasuk by the Chet HaEgel is that Moshe saw the people, ki faruahu, ki fira'o aharon, l'shim tzabe kameim. Aaron made them undisciplined, but of course the osios of pira'o are the same exact order, and the osios of paro, maybe again not a coincidence, because it's the midav kishe oref that's emerging here by Chet HaEgel. And just to end, icing on the cake, maybe with more we could always say, but just to end with this inyan, that I also thought, again, connecting it today, this mamish occurred to me also today, that the Pasuk says in the coming parasha that after Moshe and Aaron gave the Musar to Paro, the Asura for Arbe, it says, Vayifen Vayetze Me'im Paro. So he turned around and went out. He exited. So the Ramban has in one pshat that it wasn't just here. Every time Moshe gave Hasra to Paro, by whatever makos he gave Hasra, so what did he do? He gave Hasra, and he turned around, he walked out. It only mentions it here because after that, they ended up being called back. So I was thinking, so what does it mean, Vayif and Vayetze? So again, you could tell me if you find it somewhere. It could be pshat. That typically, if you're in the presence of somebody chashuv, especially a king, we all know this idea. If you go to visit Berikosa Maravi, you know it as well, even in the shul. So the inyan is, you don't turn your back on the person or on the Makom Kadosh, you walk backwards. Because turning your back is Kiyu saying, I'm not misyachis to you, I'm not goris you, I'm not taking you in, I'm not relating to you. And therefore, the appropriate behavior is to walk backwards out of the presence of the Adam Chashuv. What did Moshe do here? Vayifan Vayetze. He turned and went out. He was saying he's showing Paro the Oref. He's showing Paro his back. He's Dafker turning his back. Why? Because that's good for the message. He's saying, Paro, that's what you are. You're by definition, you're stuck. You're stubborn. You're a kshev. You are not taking in. That's exactly the whole essence of Paro. And that's why Kal Yisrael are being urged not to be that way. So Dafka, to show Paro that's the midah that has to be undone. And that's the midah that Kal Yisrael have to ultimately work on. So Moshe is Vayif and Vayetze. There's always more to say, Rabosei, Torah's v'chava minayam. You're probably thinking that there may be an aspect of Kshei Oref that's a positive aspect. It may be true. There's a maral in Netzach Yisrael. I'll just give you the Mar Mokom in the Maral Perek Yudalid, where he's Mayrech that Kshei Oref can have a positive side to it. That may be so, but certainly there's a lot to be said on the other side of why it's a very Midah that is a problem. And that's why we have to try to work on the Midah to the extent that we have to be able to be open to hear Tochacha and to improve. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us a Siyata Deshmaya to be able to fulfill the pasuk, whether in letter, whether in spirit, whether it counts as a mitzvah or not. But the inyan, of course, of that we should be able to accept any type of input and feedback and constructive criticism in a way that we can always become better and better. Michael Lachayel. Shikayach, I'm sorry, went a little bit over, but wanted to be able to do as much as we could from the sources. Okay. Shikayach.